We're going to be talking about the fire of God this morning, the fire of God. They're going to be queuing up our scripture verses here this morning. Before we get into today's message, I just want to read you some lyrics that I have here on my phone. If I was a man named William Booth, not a lot of you would know who that is. How many of you have ever heard of William Booth before? A few hands, but if I was to say the Salvation Army, pretty much everybody's hand would go up on that, right? Well, over 100 years ago, William Booth wrote a song called Send the Fire. And I believe that the lyrics to that song should be applied so much more to the church today, even as it was 100 years ago. Listen to what William Booth wrote over 100 years ago. Oh God of burning cleansing flame, send the fire. Your blood-bought gift today we claim, send the fire today. Look down and see this waiting host, and send the promised Holy Ghost. We need another Pentecost, send the fire today. Oh God of Elijah, hear our cry, send the fire. And make us fit to live or die, send the fire today. To burn up every trace of sin, and bring the light and the glory in. Let the revolution, come on now. Let the revolution now begin. Send the fire. It's fire we want. It's fire we plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire today. For strength to always do what's right. And for grace to conquer in the fight. To walk this world dressed in white. Send the fire today. Come on now. My friends, we need the fire of God this morning. Amen. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about the fire of God. I want the fire of God. I want to experience the fire of God. I want it to be real. I want it to be tangible in my life. Amen. Come on now. Either say amen or oh me. Amen. Take a look at the very first scripture verse we're going to look at here. Leviticus chapter 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until morning, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. Go on. And the priest shall put on his linen garments and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Verse 11, then he shall take off his garments, put on his other garments, and carry the ashes outside to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn the wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering order on it. And he shall burn off the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13. A fire shall always be burning. It shall never go out. I want you to notice here, three times God told Moses, don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. Don't let the fire go out. And then when you get to verse 13, he says, the fire shall always be burning. It shall never go out. Never go out. He's trying to tell Moses, don't let the fire go out. And I want to tell you, that is what he's trying to tell his church today. Don't let the fire of God go out in your life this morning. When we get to verse 13, he says, the fire shall always be burning. It shall never go out. But I want to tell you, my friends, the sad reality is today, in most of our lives, we have allowed the fire to get snuffed out. It used to be burning so bright, but now it doesn't burn as bright as it once did. There's just a little bit of spark there, but it's not burning like it used to. I want to tell you, I think what happens sometimes is we get so burned out on life. Come on now. Come on now. We get so burned out on life that we've allowed the fire of God to go out in our lives. We got to take the kids to soccer practice. We got to make lunches. We got to make dinners. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to go visit Aunt Marie in the hospital. We got to do everything. And we get so burned out, we wonder why the fire isn't burning as bright as it once did before. If it was so important for God to tell Moses that three times, how important is it this morning to tell you not to let the fire go out in your life? That this fire shall always be burning and never put out. Look at the next scripture verse. How many know If you've been in Pentecost for a long period of time, you've seen some crazy stuff before, right? Right? But I want you to know that there is a genuine fire of God, and then there's some flaky stuff with it. Now, I've talked to people before, I've talked to pastors about this, and I'm not sure where Pastor Steve stands. I'm sure, knowing him and him being a good friend of mine, I'm sure him and I stand on the same area probably. But I've heard pastors say, I'd rather have a little bit of strange fire than no fire at all. But here's what you have to understand. The strange fire is never good either. Amen? There has to be a fair balance. Now take a look at this. Take a look at Leviticus chapter 9. Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Verse 24, the fire came out from the presence of the Lord. Where did the fire come from? Now notice there, look at verse 23. It says, the glory of the Lord showed up. Now there's going to be a reoccurring pattern here this morning that we're going to see. Every time the fire of God shows up, the glory of God shows up with it. I'm going to say that again. Every time the fire of God falls, the glory of God shows up with it. It says here that the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. The fire came from the presence of the Lord, consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell on their faces. See, the first automatic response should be is when God's fire falls on a church or falls in somebody's life, His glory is going to show up with that. And the first response we should have is that we're going to praise God. I can't tell you how many times I've been in church services where the fire of God had fell and the glory of God had showed up so thick in the congregation, and I see somebody sitting back there picking dirt off from underneath their fingernails. My friends, when we are in that tangible presence of God, that should be the only thing that should be mattering, is praising God during that time. Now, I want you to notice here, this is God coming in a powerful, true way. The fire of God is falling. This is a genuine move right here. Now, look what happens. Pastor Steve will verify this. Some scholars teach that this was just within 3 minutes of each other. Go to chapter 10 now. We were just in chapter 9. Go to chapter 10. Look what happens just within minutes of each other. Aaron's sons took their censers and put fire in them and added incense, and they offered up unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to His commands. So the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them right there. How many know that sometimes strange fire has to be taken care of? Come on now. I said sometimes strange fire got to be taken care of. And as the evangelists come in, I leave that up to the pastor. I don't deal with strange fire. That's the pastor's job to put out those. Amen. But I want to tell you, one time I was preaching at a church down in West Virginia. And it seemed like the altar call was getting ready to go pretty good. But then I saw this little old lady that I found out had never attended church there. I thought she was a member there. And the altar call got started, and I'm over here praying with somebody, and I see this little old lady going around facepalming people. And next thing I know, I see her over there, and she got this young lady in her 30s down on the floor, and this lady never had a child. So she's telling this lady, God's going to birth you a spiritual baby right now. And she started having her give a baby in the spirit. And you know all the noises that goes with all that. And that's what was going on. How many know that's some strange fire? Huh? And see, there has to be a distinction between genuine fire of God and some strange stuff. Amen? Look at the next one. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. See, it should boggle our minds that God, who is a consuming fire, lives on the inside of us and we're not burned up at the same time. That should just blow your mind. God is a consuming fire. He lives on the inside of me, Becky. And I'm not burned up at the same time. How many of you have ever heard of a term called spontaneous combustion before? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that term before. That's where somebody catches on fire from the inside out, and all you find is like a pair of shoes. Aren't you glad that God lives on the inside of you? He's a consuming fire that lives on the inside of you, and you're not burned up at the same time. Come on now. Come on now. You got God living on the inside of you. You have the fire of God living on the inside of you. Amen? Amen? You know, I love the story. How many of you remember the story of when Moses saw the burning bush? You remember that story? And it says here that Moses said, I will go over and see why the bush is burning and not being consumed at the same time. Do you know what God was trying to get Moses to do there? He was trying to get him to step out and to go witness and experience and examine that bush. And see, that's what I believe God wants us to do. See, we hear so much about the fire of God, and we talk so much about it, but we never want to go over and witness it and experience it and examine it for ourselves firsthand. And that's what God did with Moses. He had him walk over to the bush, watch this bush that's completely on fire and not being consumed at the same time. How many know that God wants to get you out of your comfort zone this morning and start examining this fire? Not that we just wouldn't talk about it anymore, but we would witness it and experience it and examine it for ourselves this morning firsthand. Come on, can I get a shout this morning? Look at the next one. Look at Exodus. Remember how I told you every time the fire of God shows up, the glory of God shows up with it? Look at here. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. In other words, Dallas, everybody there that day was able to witness it firsthand for themselves. When the fire of God fell and the glory of God showed up, there wasn't one person on the bottom of that mountain that wasn't experiencing it. And see, this is what we can have here this morning. We can all either jump in together and experience it together, just like the children of Israel did, or we can just stand back and say, I don't know about this stuff. That's why we have to witness and experience it and examine it for ourselves this morning. Amen. Now look here. It says the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. If you look that word glory up in the Hebrew, it means kabod. How many have ever heard the word kabod before? Kabod means a heavy, weighty presence that comes from the Lord Almighty. See, my friends, God wants to get all over us this morning. When His fire falls and His glory comes with it, my friends, He wants to get all over us this morning. Look at the next one. Anybody here got any enemies this morning? Anybody? At least my little man over here, he's being truthful. He say he got some enemies. Anybody got any enemies here this morning? Come on, let's be truthful with one another. Come on. Look what it says here. 2 Kings. Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. So he went up to him, and there he was, sitting on the top of a hill, and he spoke to him, Man of God, the king has said, come down. So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I am a man of God, then let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then they sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, Man of God, thus said the king, come down quickly. So Elijah answered and said, If I am a man of God, let the fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. And the fire of God, see that, came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Go on. Again he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. How many know that your enemies are stupid? Come on now. How many know that your enemies are stupid? How many know that they should have got the big picture after the first or second time? Look what he goes on there. He says, And then he sent a captain a third, and he fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said, Man of God, please let the life of these 50 servants be precious in your sight. See, what will happen is people will see the fire of God in your life like they did Elijah. Come on now. They'll see the fire of God in your life like they saw in Elijah, and they ain't going to want to mess with you. See, people always say, why is everybody always picking on me? I'll tell you what, if you're walking with the fire of God in your life, there shouldn't be anybody messing with you this morning. Amen? And they're crying out for mercy now. Look at the next one. So we see the fire of God will protect us from our enemies. Go on one more. Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1 through 4. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month of the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house with the elders of Judah, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Father, I pray this morning that your hand would fall upon us in this place this morning, Father God. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon these people, Father God, and you would move and manifest yourself in their presence this morning, Father God. Verse 2, then I looked, and there was a likeness like the appearance of fire, and from his appearance in his downward waist like fire, and from his waist and upward like the appearance of brightness, like the color of amber. You know who he's talking about here? He's talking about the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ here. Come on now. And why is he looking like fire here? Because I'll tell you why. God and Jesus are the same. See, the Bible says over in Galatians chapter 3 that God and Jesus is the exact representation of God. I'm going to say that again. Jesus is the exact representation of God, it tells us over in Galatians 3. When you see God as a consuming fire, you see Jesus Christ as that consuming fire also. Amen? How many remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? When they see three people down in there, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God, that was the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ down there in that fire protecting them. Amen? I love what Revelation chapter 2 tells me. It tells me that his eyes were flaming like fire. See, when you see God as a consuming fire, you see Jesus Christ as that consuming fire also. And it goes on there and it says, he stretched out the form of a hand and took me by the lock of my hair. And he lifted me up by the Spirit between the heavens and the earth and brought me in the visions of God. How many of you, when you were younger, your mom or dad used to grab you up by the back of the neck? Anybody out there? How many know that maybe sometimes we just need God to grab us up by the back of the neck to show us the bigger picture? Amen? Because sometimes we just don't get it, do we? How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes God is trying to show you the bigger picture and you just ain't getting it. Notice what it says here. It says that he lifted him up between the heavens and the earth. How many know that God wants to take you up higher this morning than where you're at right now? I say God wants to take you up higher this morning than where you're at right now. And it says that he took him in the visions of God. See, when we're walking in the fire of God, God will give us a fresh revelation. He'll give us a fresh knowledge of who he is. How many wants a fresh revelation of God this morning? How many wants a fresh knowledge of him? How many need some insight on who he is in their life this morning? See, it's all by walking in the fire of God that God will reveal these things. He'll give us a fresh revelation, fresh knowledge, fresh insight on who he is and what he wants to do in our lives. He goes on there and he says, he brought me in the visions of God. And then he took him to the seat of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. Verse 4, and behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like I had seen in the vision that I had seen in the plain. See, he said he showed him the vision of God, and then the glory of God fell. See, when Jesus Christ shows up in our midst, just like he did here with Ezekiel, the fire of God comes with it. That fire of God will consume you and show you things that you never thought you would see before. It says there, behold, the glory of God was there. And he made it just like I had seen in the plain. How many know that God wants to make things plain to you this morning? How many know you make things too tough in your life? If there's anything ever rough in your life, it's because you made it rough. Amen? But God wants his glory to show up. He wants Jesus Christ to be manifested in your life. And that fire of God will start consuming you and start burning in your life more. So we see that the fire of God will give us a fresh revelation of who he is this morning. He will give us a fresh insight, fresh knowledge of who he is. Look at the next one. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. Behold, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. How many know that Jesus Christ is close to coming back today than what he was yesterday? My friends, we ain't got a whole lot more time. If you think we do, then you better go check the newspaper again. Did you see how there was various earthquakes all over the earth last week? I mean, I know that that's signs of the times there. Come on. He's close to coming back. My friends, we don't have a whole lot more time. And you know what? This is what I want to tell you this morning, because I find in a lot of churches that I go to, I know not here because I know this man's heart, but I know in a lot of churches I go to, the message of holiness ain't preached anymore. A message of living set apart, sanctified, isn't talked about anymore. But see, he's coming back for a spotless, blameless bride. A bride that's cleaned up by the blood of the Lamb. Look what it goes on here and says. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. See, what God wants to do is when you're walking in the fire of God, God will begin to refine you by the fire of God. Amen. See, I see so many people say, I'm trying to kick heroin, but I just can't do it. I'm trying to kick porn, and I just can't do it. You need the fire of God to come in and just get in your life and burn up every trace of sin that's holding you back from getting close to him. He says he's like a refiner's fire. He's like a refiner's fire. In other words, what God wants to do this morning is he wants to take all those rough edges and start smoothing them out in your life. How many know we got some rough edges this morning? How many know that God needs to smooth us out this morning? He needs to refine us by that fire this morning. He goes on and he says, he's like a launderer's soap. How many know that we just need the Holy Spirit to come and clean up our act for us this morning? Come on. How many of you, when you were kids, your mom or dad used to stick a bar of soap in your mouth because you didn't know how to use your mouth right? Huh? Saying stuff you shouldn't be saying. Huh? You're still getting that. Sometimes. Good. Good man. Good man. You know, I always heard that Irish Spring was probably the worst. And then which one's the yellow one? Is that Dow? Dow. What is it? Man, that's enough to make you not want to cuss again, right? You know, when I first got saved, I'd never done drugs. Never done drugs in my life. I've never drank. I never smoked. I've only been with one woman, and that's my wife. But when God found me, I'm telling you, I had a horrible mouth. I'm talking, and this is before I'd get baptized in the Holy Spirit, so I didn't even have the power of God yet in my life. But all I ever heard in church was, once you're saved, you got to go get other people saved. So I was out trying to witness to people without the power of the Holy Spirit, without having the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'd be telling people about Jesus and dropping the F-bomb in the same sentence. Now, how many know that that's not a good testimony? Amen. And I remember I went home one night and I said, God, I can't be talking like this. This isn't a good testimony. And I remember I knelt down at my bed and I was there for 3-4 hours. And I said, God, I'm not getting up until I know you've taken this from me. And I'll tell you what, 3-4 hours went by and I felt that release that God set me free from that. See, the fire of God can set you free from stuff that you think he can't set you free from this morning. Amen. Why would you want to hold on to something he can get rid of for you this morning? Amen. Yeah, I don't want to read the whole thing, but if you look down there, it says that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. See why God wants to clean up your life this morning? It's so that you wouldn't be such a bad example, a bad testimony. That you would clean up your act this morning. See, he's coming back. The Bible says that we are now the righteousness of God. And we read that in that first part there. He's coming back soon, my friends, and he's coming back for a spotless, blameless bride. That's why we need the fire of God to clean up our act this morning. Now, believe me, I know that there's going to be little things that you're going to have a really hard time getting out of there. I understand. That doesn't mean you don't stop working on trying to get those things out and allowing the fire of God to purge that from your life. So we see the fire of God can set us free this morning. How many know that if there's anybody in here that needs set free this morning, the fire of God can do it? Look at the next one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That is why I will remind you to stir up. How many know we need to stir up the fire of God this morning? Come on now, that wasn't a good enough response for me. How many know that we need to stir up the fire of God this morning? Look what it says there. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers, fan the flame of. How many of you have ever seen a bellow before? It's just like a fan where you just, you pump this and it's just, and it gets that fire burning bigger and brighter and faster. See, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. He wants to get that little spark that you have. Because I want to tell you, each and every one of us this morning might have a little tiny spark in us. And God wants that thing getting bigger and brighter and faster. He says here, that is why I remind you to stir up. How many know that we need to be reminded constantly about stirring up the fire of God in our lives? He says, that is why I remind you to rekindle. In other words, there's already a spark there, Becky. You just got to get that thing brighter than what it is right now. He says, rekindle the embers, fan the flame up, and keep burning. Say that with me. Say, keep burning. Isn't that what he told Moses over there in Leviticus chapter 6? Keep the fire of God burning. See, my friends, we should never let the fire of God go out. We need to let it keep burning in our lives. He says, keep burning the gracious gift of God. How many know that the fire of God is a gracious gift this morning? Come on, I said the fire of God is a gracious gift this morning. He says, the gracious gift of God, the inner fire. Where's the fire of God at this morning? Well, if Jesus is a consuming fire, and God is a consuming fire, and he lives on the inside of me, then the fire of God must be where? Inside me. He says, the inner fire. This is where the fire of God's at. It's inside us, my friends. We need to keep it burning brighter and faster and bigger than what it is right now. He says, that inner fire that is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands at your ordination. See, my friends, the fire of God, it will come. It's real. It's tangible. But we got to get this thing sparked up bigger than what it is right now. Look at the next one. Luke 24, verse 32. This is a story about two men who were on the road to Emmaus. And they come across Jesus. And look what they said here. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us? I want to tell you something, my friends. I don't think Luke, the writer of this book, would have ever wrote that these men felt a physical burning inside their hearts unless they felt it. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? They physically felt a burning deep down inside their heart. This isn't metaphorical. This is something that they experienced. This was something real. They felt it deep down inside their heart. They felt the burning from the fire of God in their lives. And he says, while he talked with us and revealed himself, and he opened the scriptures to us. How many know that God wants to set us on fire when we talk to him? See, when we're in our prayer time, we should be getting stirred up. We should be getting on fire for more of God. And he says, while they opened up the scriptures to us, while he talked with us and he revealed the scriptures to us. See, when we read the word of God, it should set us on fire for him. You know, I hear so many people, I don't know how many people I've met in my life, and I'm sure you might have met a few people like this too. They say, I just read the word of God, I just don't understand it. How many of you ever met people like that? My friends, I want to tell you, when you read this, it should be setting you on fire for him, and you should physically feel a burning inside your heart, a burning inside your spirit for more of God. Look at the next one. Whew. Jeremiah 23, verse 29. He says, is not my word like a fire? See, when I read the word of God, it should set me on fire for him. His word is like a fire to me. It consumes me. It sets me more on fire for more of him. That is what the word of God should be doing. He says, is not my word like a fire? I want to ask you this morning, can I ask you a question? Is the word of God to you like a fire in your spirit this morning? Every time you read it, every time you apply it, is it setting you on fire for more of him? Because that's what the word of God should be doing. It should be setting you more on fire for more of God. Look at the next one. Look at Jeremiah 20, verse 9. This is Jeremiah says, then I said to him, I will make no mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. See, Jeremiah's been there. He's been there when people said, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff anymore. I don't want to hear that God business anymore. Take those scripture verses down out of your cubicle or I'm turning you into HR. And see, this is the automatic response. We just stopped telling people about Jesus. See, Jeremiah was there, wasn't he, Pastor Steve? Jeremiah knew. He sensed this. He knew what it was to take a message to somebody and have them turn him down and decline and say, I don't want to hear it. But see, that's where the church is today. We've lost the fire of God in our lives to where we don't even want to tell anybody about Jesus anymore. How many has ever been there before? Come on now. How many of you witnessed to people and they said, I just don't want to hear what you got to say? Does that mean you stop? Because that's what a lot of people do. My feelings were hurt. If that's the way they feel, I'm just not going to tell nobody anymore. And we just stop telling people about Jesus. Right? But look what he says here. He says, I will make no mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word. His word was in my heart like a burning fire. See, my friends, when you're so on fire for God, you're going to tell people about Jesus no matter how many times they've turned you down. No matter how many times they said, I don't want to hear what you got to say. Nobody goes on. He says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. See, here's the whole thing. If you are so on fire for God this morning, it's not going to matter what people think or say or what they feel about you. You are not going to be able to hold back the fire that he's placed inside your heart this morning. You're not going to be able to hold back that fire. See, Jeremiah was not going to hold back. He tried to. And see, that's what happens with us sometimes. The fire of God gets stirring in our hearts and we want to hold it back. But my friends, God wants to stir that fire up that you wouldn't hold it back, but you would be so weary of holding it back that you couldn't contain it. That's how much he wants to set you on fire for him this morning, that you wouldn't be able to contain it any longer. See, some historians teach this, that Jeremiah was persecuted so much for taking this message that he was picked up on his feet. And they put him on his side like this. And there was these holes cut out inside the city gate. And they picked him up and they ran with him and they jammed his feet into the city gates and mangled his feet because they didn't want to have to hear what he had to say any longer. Let me ask you, how many of you doing better than that this morning? Anybody been persecuted that much this morning that you've had your feet jammed in the city gate? Sounds like we're doing pretty good then this morning, aren't we? Amen. Look at the next one. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. And the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. That word minister is translated to be servant. See, you don't have to be a minister or hold a credential card like Pastor Steve and I to be a minister this morning, amen? Because this word is supposed to be translated servant. How many servants of God do I have in here this morning? Now look what it says here. His servants, a flame of fire. See, when people see you, they should see the fire of God. They should see you so on fire for God that you would be just flaming. That you would just be so on fire for God that they would see this in your life. See, God's servants should be seen as a living fireball. Amen. See, when you go down to the local grocery store or Sheetz or Walmart or wherever you go, people should be able to see the fire of God in your life. They should be able to see the fire of God in your life. How many of you have ever heard of Charles Finney before? I love history, especially about revivals. And Charles Finney, he was a revivalist. He wrote a book called Revivals of Religion. And I was reading an excerpt from his journal one time, and it said that while he was in this city preaching one time, this man, this factory owner, has said, "While you're in town, would you come and visit me?" And he said, "When I get a chance, I will come visit you." And it says that he showed up to this man's factory one day, and as he walked down this long corridor, getting to this man's office, men and women began to fall on his left and on his right, crying out for God to save them and that God would have mercy on their soul. See, that's what people should see. People should see you so on fire for God that it would want to bring them to repentance this morning. Come on now. That it would want to bring them to repentance this morning. My wife and I, we were at a minister's retreat a few months back, and there was a little old lady. Her name is Martha Tennyson. She's an Assemblies of God evangelist, still traveling way up in her 80s. And she told us this story of how she was going on a flight to go preach out of state. And she took one of her friends with her who was well up in her 90s. And while Martha Tennyson and her are sitting on this plane, the stewardess walked over to Martha Tennyson and said, "I don't know what it is. That little old lady you have over there with you, I feel so convicted. I got to get right with God." And she didn't even know nothing about them being ministers or nothing. See, it doesn't matter if you're the youngest person in this room or the oldest person in this room. The fire of God should be able to convict people of their sin. They should be able to see the fire of God in your life this morning. Amen. Look at the next one. And I'm just going to skip down to the bottom. It says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." How many people do I have baptized in the Holy Ghost in here this morning? How many have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? See, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have the fire of God. Here's a question I want to ask you. What good is it to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have the fire of God in your life and not tell one person about Jesus? Huh? What good is it? My friends, if we go longer than a few weeks not telling somebody about Jesus, we should check ourselves and get back in line and start telling people about Jesus again, shouldn't we? Because what good is it to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the fire of God and not even be using it? But that's what's going on in most churches today. We see these people that are like, ah, I'm all on fire for God, but they ain't. How many of you seen the crazy charismatic people who are all on fire for God, but they ain't winning nobody to Jesus? And then usually the pastors ended up having to put out all the small little fires that they're starting. Huh? Look at the next one. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Do you know what will bring revival? Do you know what will bring the fire of God into a congregation? A church that's one in one place in one accord. See, that's where the fire of God can fall. Amen. It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. Father God, I pray this morning when you begin to move in this place that the sound of heaven, that rushing mighty wind would come into this place and fill this house and your glory would show up, your fire would fall, and we would begin to praise you with our lips this morning, Lord. It goes on and he says there, and it filled the whole house. Go to verse 3. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now look at verse 3, it says, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. See, even on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, God showed up like fire there. Now I want you to do me a real quick favor. I'm going to shake out your stiff bones and everything this morning. Would you stand up with me right now? And I want you to take your right hand. Everybody take their right hand. Take your right hand. And I want you to put it above your head like this. And I want you to give me a pageant wave. Come on. Everybody just give me a pageant wave. She's got a perfect pageant wave down here. So does Pastor Becky. So if you don't know how to do a pageant wave, just look at those two. Now I want you to keep doing that. And I want you to look around the room. Keep doing that and look around the room. Just look around the room at everybody. Can you imagine on the day of Pentecost being in a room of 120 people and seeing their hair on fire? Can you imagine that sight? Can you imagine that? Now just look around the room. Just keep doing that and just look around the room at everybody. And just imagine seeing fire above their head like that. You may be seated. My friends, the fire of God should be something that's real. It should be something tangible. It should be something we should be seeing in each and every one of our lives. There shouldn't be anybody in here this morning that should not be able to have the fire of God in their lives. Amen? Go ahead. We all should be experiencing it this morning. It should be something real. It should be something tangible this morning. I know my beautiful wife is walking over that keyboard. I know usually distractions are the biggest thing in churches, aren't they? Keep your eyes right over here. Exactly. The fire of God should be something real in our lives this morning. It should be tangible. We should be able to see it this morning. Look at the very last verse. This is the last chapter we're going to look at. Look at 2 Chronicles. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven. Where'd the fire come from? And it burnt it consumed the burnt offering, and the glory of God filled the temple. See there again? We saw that several times, didn't we? Where the fire of God falls and the glory of God shows up. And it says the priest could not enter the house because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. How many of you have ever been in a room like that before? I got a pastor friend that preaches, that pastors out near Philadelphia. He took this church with 25 people, and within a year, it grew to 300. And I went to go show up there one day to preach, and I met this guy out in the hallway. I said, hey, I'm looking for Pastor Steve. And he says, he's out in the hall. He says, he's in there. He's in there in the sanctuary with the intercessory prayer team. And when he said intercessory prayer team, I thought, you know, I pastored before. When people say an intercessory prayer team, I'm thinking 2-3 women. Because that's usually all that ever shows up for an intercessory prayer team. But I get in there, and there's about 75 people in there just interceding and crying out. I want to tell you, my friends, I walked there. I walked into the sanctuary. I pushed the door open, and I had to grab hold of the side of the door because my knees had buckled on me because the glory of God was so thick in that room. Man, what prayer can do, amen? Look what he goes on there and says, and the priest could not even enter the house because the glory of the Lord had filled the temple. Go on. When the children of Israel saw how the fire came and the glory of the Lord fell on the temple, they bowed on their faces and worshiped the Lord. Would you begin just to stand to your feet right now and just begin to praise him right now? We're going to believe that God's going to fall here mightily this morning.